This morning, our devotional background comes from Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to his place whither he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about, and to the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, unto the place from whence the rivers come, till they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that which have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this is also in vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Are there any announcements before we go to Sunday school?
The title of our lesson today is It's Only Stuff. And this is an appropriate lesson, being that Thanksgiving is on Thursday, and after that we're going to have Black Friday. And I know that all of y'all have been looking at the, waiting for the sales and looking at that stuff. And you might not have been, but I have been. So I'll just say that. But let's stop today and think a little bit about what's going on, about the things that we're surrounded with, and the things that we know to be true. I'll start off here by reading our lesson text out of our Sunday school book, and I'll go back and I'll try to bring some things out. Starting with Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. In our lesson key, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And I'll say right now that the word vanity here may not, it's not exactly what we think of vanity today as like foolish pride in one's appearance, but rather it really means more uselessness and of no goodness about it. So you kind of have to think of that in that way. He's not talking about a puffed up pride that we might call as far as looks. But going back here to the first verse that I read, he says, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. Behold, this is also vanity. This is also useless to go forth after pleasure of this life. Now, we probably don't walk around thinking in ourselves, well, go to, I'm going to say in my heart to enjoy all pleasures. But our actions many times do. Our thoughts, we tend to, and this goes back to what I was talking about at the beginning, we look at things, and we look at these things that are coming up on sale, and you kind of think, well, I'd like to have one of those. You know, my old one's, you know, it's 5 or 6 years old. It's obsolete. I need a new one. We do that. I mean, I do that. And that's pretty much what he's talking about here. He's giving over. He's saying, I'm going to give over to my heart to just get all this stuff, all this. And, you know, he wasn't talking about cell phones and computers and televisions and things like that. But everything that was available in his time, he tells us later on, he had one of them or two of them or a whole house full of them, whatever it might be. He had everything that could be had. And we today maybe tend to think of the people back then as living a rough life and not really having a lot. But in Solomon's case, I don't believe that was true. I'm sure that Solomon had a really comfortable life at this time. He had plenty to eat. He had all anything that was upon the earth to eat. Solomon more than likely had it. And all kinds of comforts and pleasures. And he tells us that he had those things. And he says they didn't bring him, they were a vexation of spirit. They got in the way of his relationship with God. They got in between him and God and the worship of God. We're no different today. You know, these things that we look upon and these things that we surround ourselves by and with today, they come between us and God. And they cause us to allow our hearts to drift. So everything that Solomon has said here, I see happening in my life in one way or the other. And he's right what he says here. Behold, it was there was no profit in it. There's no real satisfaction in gathering this stuff. And I'd like to stand before you today and say that I'm going to learn my lesson and I'm not going to do this. It's probably not true because it's the human nature to see things. And he says, I don't know, it was here in the devotional background studies that about the eye not being filled, the ear not being filled and the eye not being satisfied. And that's just our nature as people. We want things. We see things and we want one. And if we've got one, it won't be very long before we consider it old and we want a new one. And that's just the way that human nature goes. I want to turn back here just for a second to the 49th division of Psalms and go down to the 6th verse. It says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. that he should live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, being in honor, abideth not. He is like the beast that perish. Now, he says here he's like the beast that perish. That doesn't mean that the beast that perish, they die and they are no more. They don't have souls. He's not talking about the souls, but rather that there's an end that comes to men. Men die, whether they're wealthy or whether they're beggars in the street all their life. The point that he is coming up with here is that we have a soul, and what's important and what's precious is the redemption of that soul, he says in the 8th verse, for the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceaseth forever. That is, this life is an opportunity to be saved. This life that we are living here, it shouldn't be cluttered up with stuff. It shouldn't be cluttered up with earthly pleasures. We have an opportunity to serve God, to worship Him. But first, we need to be saved. And he's saying here that these people, that their inward thought is they're going to continue on. They're going to continue on in their land. They name their land after themselves. And it's the Parker Estate or whatever, the Acres. That's not going to matter at all. When I'm gone, my soul is going to heaven. It's not going to heaven because of anything that I've bought. It's not going to heaven because of anything that I've done or I've acquired. It's going to heaven because the Lord redeemed my soul. He saved my soul. It's going to heaven because I repented of my sins and I turned to Him and I asked Him to save me and I had nothing to offer. Wouldn't have mattered what I had. Solomon speaks of the worthlessness of these things that he acquired. He goes and he lists in great detail here all the things that he had, and he said it was worthless. He means it was worthless because it didn't have anything to do with his soul. Solomon was saved when he did all these things, and he realized how that these earthly things, these pleasures, separated him from God. We are no different today. None of us are. The earthly things, they separate us from God. And, you know, part of me thinks sometimes that Satan puts things in our way and he uses things to lure us. But the truth is, that's kind of how we are. That's the way we want to go a lot of times. We don't even need Satan to do those things. We will do them on our own, it seems like. But the redemption of the soul is what's important. And we as God's children know that. We know it in our hearts. If you've been saved, you know it. If you sit around and you meditate upon it a little while and you compare everything that is out there that you can buy and that you can get a hold of, and you think about the salvation of your soul, and you think about how you felt when you were lost, you knew. You knew down in your heart where you were bound. You knew what it was going to be like. You knew what was important at that time. We need to keep those thoughts in our mind. You know, we're approaching this. We're approaching Thanksgiving, and I like Thanksgiving. It's probably my favorite holiday. I like it better than Christmas. Because when I am truly thankful for the things that I've been given and the blessings that I have, that brings me joy. That gives me contentment and peace in my heart. To think about those things. Christmas is not so much that way, because, to be honest with you, and I think y'all all probably already know this, Christmas is kind of a hassle. You've got to find some kind of gift to give somebody that already has everything, and they're probably not going to really, you know, want what anything that you can find to give them. We're wealthy people. We are. All of us are. And I can't give any one of y'all anything that really you would want, that you need, you know. Now, you could go to another country, I guarantee you, and you can find all kinds of things that you could give people in these other countries, and they'd really appreciate it. It would really mean something to those people because they don't have it. But we're not that way. But those things, we need to be thankful that we're in this country. We need to be thankful that we're blessed with this wealth, such wealth that we can't even come up with anything to give each other for the most part that anybody's going to, well, I really needed one of those. I didn't have one of that. You know, I needed that. So that's why I really like Thanksgiving, because when I can allow myself to be thankful to God for what he's done for me, for the salvation of my soul, for the fact that I don't go hungry, for the fact that I have a nice way to get back and forth to work, a nice way to get back and forth to church, plenty to eat, you know, shelter, heat, air conditioning. I have all these things, and I don't even think about them. But when I do, I know God blessed me. He looked down upon me. He gave me something that the world in general doesn't have. I'm talking about today in 2011. The majority of the world doesn't have those things. Now, I realize that the powerful nations, you know, Europe, Germany, those they're living somewhat similar to us. They have air conditioning and heat. But the majority of the people, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, are living in third world countries. There are more of those than there are countries that are, the word escapes me that I'm looking for here, but the wealthy nations. There are more poor people in the world than there are wealthy people. That's not the case in the United States now. Even poor people in the United States, for the most part, are in some form or fashion taken care of. I'm getting off subject here. I want to get back to the lesson here. The point that I'm trying to get across in Psalms was the psalmist is talking about the uselessness, the vanity, the worthlessness of material possessions, how that we are all, as human beings, going to die, and the redemption of our soul is what is important. And that's what Solomon is talking about. The redemption of his soul, the fact that the Lord had saved his soul is what was important. And he let that get in his way. He let that separate him from God. And you can read about the things that Solomon did. Solomon did a lot of damage. He, to be as the wisest man that ever lived, and I guess still has ever lived, Solomon, he sinned some great sins. And he caused the nation of Israel to be split into two kingdoms. And one of those kingdoms, as far as I know, and I could be wrong, only had evil kings. The other kingdom had a few good kings and a lot of evil kings. But that's getting off subject. The point being that when we sin before God, even as saved individuals, and we separate ourselves, we allow ourselves to be separated from God by worldly things and turning our hearts to worldly things, we do a lot of damage. We do a lot of harm. And Solomon did those things in spite of all his knowledge and in spite of his wealth also. As I studied this and I thought about what Solomon, how he lived, Solomon was a wealthy man. He was a wise man and he was a wealthy man, and he allowed that wealth to get in his way. But I do that also. You know, I know better. Solomon knew better. He knew what he was doing was wrong down in his heart, I believe. And I know when I start wanting things and I put things in stuff, possessions, as a priority over God, over worshiping God and serving him, I know that's wrong. And yet I still, if I'm not careful, I find myself doing that. But I also know what's permanent and what's treasures that are laid up in heaven. The Bible teaches me they're not going to rust. Thieves don't break through and steal. They're there. If I will serve God and honor him and give him glory and just do what he would have me to, if we as God's people will do those things, we know that he will bless us. He's already blessed us. He's already given us all these things that I spoke of a few minutes ago, the things that we need to be thankful for. But he's also blessing us with blessings in heaven, treasures in heaven, and those are laid up for us, and that's what really counts. That's what's going to last throughout eternity. Everything upon this earth is going to be burned up by fire. And, you know, if it lasts long enough to get burned up by fire, it may rust out by tomorrow morning. We don't know those things. But the point is, it's not going to last, but the heavenly treasures, they'll be there. I'm almost finished here. One other thing that I'm going to bring out, and I'm finishing up here, but as I read these things that Solomon, the things that he got about himself and how he surrounded himself with all this wealth, the thought came to my mind, I believe Solomon was a more wealthy man than the wealthy people that we see today. You think about Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and the many billions of dollars those men have and how they can buy anything and that they want. I think Solomon had more wealth than those men. And the reason I think that was this description that he gives here for us. It just, if you study it and you read it and you really think about it, you can tell that Solomon had wealth and he had power. And he had wisdom. He put his wisdom to understanding these things. And he came to the conclusion that wealth and power without God was vanity. It was worthless. It was useless. I guess that's everything I've got for today. Does anybody have any thoughts? It's a little bit of a short lesson, but I'll stop when I get done.
I had some thoughts, not quite on this lesson, but it's a good thing to think about. Such small things like honeybee, how it could go out and get a honey and come back with its stand. No way to train, he's got a radar on how it happens. Same with a bird, it goes and flies south, goes back north, and you don't get lost. If it did, we never heard of it.
One thing I will say, I don't want y'all to think that I'm down on possessions or anything. I believe God has blessed us. He's given us these things because he loves us. It's not the possessions. It's where we allow those things to be in our heart. If we keep our heart drawing near to God, God's happy and he likes to bless us. He likes to give his people good things. And that's why this country is in the condition that it's in as far as the wealth that it has. But, God has told us he'll take those things back and he'll punish his people when they don't do right. So.
And this King Saul, he's the wisest man in the world, and I've always kind of questioned that. Anybody got 200 wives, there's got to be something wrong with
it. I've actually thought the same thing, Didn't think that one through, did he? I've always kind of figured he got those wives when he was young. If there's nothing else, we can be dismissed. Sonny, will you dismiss us until 11 o'clock?